All right, good afternoon. I'd like to present my research on, as he said, the effects of native warm season perennial plants on plant diversity in grasslands, both managed for forage and also for biofuel biomass. So, native warm season perennial plants are plants that have historically been present in a lot of the United States. However, they're not a common forage choice in much of the eastern United States. In fact, they're not really that common in much of the eastern United States. And a lot of times, these native plants have been replaced by cool season species. However, there's a bunch of reasons why these native warm season plants may be a beneficial resource for our forage systems. First of all, these are plants that have been historically found here. They're prairie plants, for example, like Indian grass, as you can see in the picture here. These plants are adapted to our environmental conditions. In addition, these plants are often high-yielding species. They typically require lower nutrient inputs, and they're also very drought-tolerant in many cases. These are all great attributes that producers would like to have. Although it's not all sunshine, I guess you'd have to say, for these warm season species, there's a bunch of concerns. Namely, some of the problems are that these plants can be slow to establish. It can take maybe 3 years to get a fully mature stand. Another problem is that there's some concerns about the nutritive quality. Sometimes people are concerned that maybe they won't provide the nutritive forage values that grazing animals might need. So if we don't have these native prairie plants and native perennials out in the eastern pastures, what do we have? The typical pasture of the eastern United States often is comprised of introduced cool season species, things like tall fescue, orchard grass, which were brought over by European settlers. And now, if you take a little closer look at these pastures, you might see that these pastures are often dominated by just a couple species. And there is some diversity out there, but a lot of times this diversity is generally transient, weedy species. And we're not, these transient, weedy species may not actually provide a lot of forage value. This might not be the best way to manage for pastures, seeing as there's been recent research showing that there's a whole bunch of positive relationships between diversity and ecosystem functions and properties. For example, diversity has been shown to have such positive benefits like improving yields, reducing weeds and weed invasion, also improving system stability so that you can have more stable yields over years and environmental variations. And finally, improving nutrient cycling and also things like soil carbon accumulation. So if research shows that these native warm season perennials have a lot of positive plant attributes themselves, and research also shows that diversity itself can have a bunch of attributes in a system, we ask the question, well, what happens when you combine them? What's the benefit of using native warm season perennial mixtures and increasing the diversity of them? And to that effect, we hypothesize that these more diverse native warm season perennial mixtures should have increased forage production, they should have improved nutritive values, and they should also have reduced weed biomass. Now, another thing that these native warm season perennial plants are known for is their potential for biomass. There's been a lot of research using things like switchgrass. So we were curious, well, how do these mixtures of warm season perennial plants compare when we do two different management schemes, both managing them for grazing and also managing them for biomass in a sort of biofuel type experiment? So the first thing we did is we picked the species that we were interested in using in our study. Now, we used 10 native species that were drawn from a similar mixture that's been used for wildlife habitat. In general, these are species that are pretty hardy and very easy to establish. And they include such species as our warm season grasses, four of them, like switchgrass and big bluestem. We also have one cool season grass, Virginia wild rye, three legumes, and then two forbs. The goal of this experiment was to evaluate how our sown forage mixture diversity will affect plant productivity and nutritive value, as I mentioned, both in a grazing system and also kind of managing for biomass. And in our experiment, we tested three different forage mixtures: a switchgrass monoculture, a mixture of four grasses, which includes switchgrass, big bluestem, Indian grass, and Virginia wild rye, and then a mixture of all 10 species. So they had grasses, they had forbs, and they had legumes. So in June of 2008, we began this experiment. and we sowed these species into four blocks. Within each block, we no-till drilled each treatment into about a one-acre plot at a seeding rate of 12 pounds pure live seed per acre. We then allowed these plants to establish in the 2008 growing season and began the defoliation experiment in 2009. Now, to do this, what we did is we planted, or we used electric fencing in order to establish 50 square meter biofuel plots within each treatment plot. And these weren't grazed. All that we did for them is we mowed them at the end of October. So we were pretty much managing these for biomass. Then we allowed the cows to graze the rest of our treatment plots. And they grazed twice, both in 2009 and in 2010, once in June and then once again in August. We then estimated yields and species composition in the biofuel plots and the rest of the grazed areas. And the bulk of my data will come from a late July biomass sampling for both 2009 and 10. So just to give you some pictorial examples of what these plots looked like, this is August of 2008, the first year. And Dr. Tracy, my advisor there, is standing out to give you a little example of the height. As you can see, all the little yellow dots are black-eyed Susans. We had some pretty good forb establishment, and there was quite a few grasses, but it was pretty short still. By 2009, we had much better establishment. And as you can see, we have our postdoc here, and the grasses are pretty much above his waist. By 2010, we've got a pretty strong grass establishment, and if you've noticed, we've lost quite a few forbs, I guess you'd have to say. So pictures are pretty great, but what do the numbers tell us about forage productivity? What we found was that in agreement with our hypothesis, our forage yields were actually higher in our more diverse plots. In all 3 years, the switchgrass monocultures produced the least amount of forage biomass. When we looked at the weed biomass, it was a little more complicated. It was only in 2010 that we found any differences in the mixtures. And by this year, the 10-species mixture, our most diverse mixture, had the least amount of weed biomass. Now, this could be because as these grasses were establishing, it just took time for them to become competitive. The other concern is the nutritive values. Farmers want to make sure that the forage that they have is of sufficient quality that, you know, their animals will have gain weights or weight gains and will be able to, you know, effectively graze. And so we took forage samples in June and July of 2009 and analyzed them for acid detergent fiber, neutral detergent fiber, and also crude protein. And what we found was that pretty much across all the treatments, forage nutritive values were sufficient for grazing beef cattle. In both June and July, average crude protein levels were above 10%. So pretty much this is an acceptable rate for most classes of livestock. When we looked at any differences that the mixtures might have, we found the only difference was that switchgrass monocultures had slightly lower fiber contents in June. This difference disappeared by July when all three mixtures had essentially equivalent fiber contents and crude protein contents. And once again, I'd just like to emphasize that our crude protein level demonstrated in purple here is all above that 10% threshold. Then we looked at the biofuel plots. And what we found was that in 2009, our diverse plots had higher forage yields, just like they did in the grazed areas. However, this difference disappeared in 2010 when the monoculture produced equivalent amounts of biomass as our 4 and our 10 species mixtures. When we looked at weed biomass, we found that in both 2009 and 2010, they were equivalent across the three mixtures. Although it is nice to note that weed biomass was quite a bit less in 2010 as these grasses continued to establish. The next question that we asked is, how does this management, either managing for biomass or managing for grazing, affect our plant pastures and our communities? And so after 1 year of grazing, we took forage samples. This was in late May of 2010, prior to the beginning of our 2010 graze period. And what we found was that in general, the biofuel plots tended to actually have more forage biomass, as you can see here by our maroon bars. In contrast, when you looked at the weed biomass, you see that the grazed areas, which are in orange, tended to have more weedy biomass, especially if you look at the 4 and the 10 species mixtures. There's a pretty big difference there. So it seems like just after 1 year of managing for either biomass or for grazing, we already can see some changes in our communities. So just from these first 3 years of establishment, we've already found some interesting results. First of all, we've seen some evidence that diverse mixtures can be higher yielding. And this is especially true in our grazed plots, where in all 3 years, the grazed areas had higher forage biomass. In addition, it seems that as these warm season pastures establish, the more diverse plots tend to be able to reduce the weed biomass better than our monocultures, all which are good things for producers. Another possible benefit is this idea of like a portfolio effect. Now, you can think of this similar to in the stock market, where you want to have a diverse set of investments. This way, you can protect yourself against a major loss in any one section. And so you can do the same thing in your pastures and your grasslands. By having a diverse mixture of grasses, if one species doesn't establish well, you can still have protection. We can consider this a sort of yield insurance. And this was especially true in our experiment, where our switchgrass established pretty poorly in 2008. And so by having our diverse mixtures, things like Indian grass and big blue stem, we're able to compensate and still produce productive stands. So how about using these native plants for forage and for grazing? Farmers are very concerned about this loss in time that they might have as they're waiting for these stands to establish. We found that grazing was actually possible in the second year. These stands really actually did establish pretty quickly. And especially when you consider that the 4 and the 10 species mixtures had even higher forage yields, it seems like diversity may be a benefit when we're considering using these things for grazing. In addition, even though the diversity didn't seem to affect the nutritive values, in all 3 mixtures we found that nutritive values were sufficient for most classes of wild or livestock. The next question is, well, what about using these plants, diversity, and native warm season perennials for biofuel? We found that just simply based on biomass alone, mixtures can perform as well or even better than monocultures. And this is especially important when you consider a lot of times people are promoting using like switchgrass monocultures of one species for these biofuel plots. So basically, our research shows that in conclusion, native warm season perennials can be a great tool in both a grazing system and in a management for biomass and biofuels. And it seems like diversity itself can also be a useful tool. With that, I'd like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Tracy, the other members of my lab, Dr. Flores and David Schluter. And with that, I open the floor to any questions.
Any questions?
Do you think that 2 years is enough, long enough study to feel that you have reached an equilibrium for the diversity of the species?
Definitely not. That is one thing that's very true. Species compositions have been shifting. Plants are still adjusting, establishing, and that type of thing. So no, this would be definitely useful to keep on looking. But as I say, this is an experiment looking especially at the establishment phase.
I apologize if I missed this. Were there still 10 species left in 2010 in your high diversity mixture?
There were. Unfortunately, the forbs had become pretty rare in general. We had sowed them at about 5% seeding rate, and in general, they were somewhere between 1 and 5% by the end of 2010 for each species.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.